Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. Hope all of you had a great week. I tell you, it was a pretty week, wasn't it? I'm glad to see it. My garden's coming up. Praise the Lord for that. Hadn't been planted about 2 weeks, but it's good to see it finally coming up. I know some of you are saying, well, I already got little tomatoes already, preacher. Well, that's great. I'm glad you do. When they get ripe, please bring me one. I tell you, I love it, don't you? Well, it's just so good to be with you this morning. It has been a great week. And this morning, we're going to be looking at something from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to begin with verse 23, read down through verse 26. As we think about this morning, empty people. Empty people. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, down through verse 26. Before we begin, let's do go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together, as He always does. We always look forward to this time with you on the radio. So let's go to the Lord now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for opportunity once again to come and to proclaim your word. We thank you for those that are listening this morning, Lord. You know what needs they have. Some may be shut in, some may be sick this morning. They need a healing touch from you. And so, Lord, I ask you to heal them. Lord, some may be traveling this morning, so they're listening in the car. So give them traveling graces, Lord, that they'll get there and back wherever they're headed. Some may be lost this morning, may not know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, didn't intend to get on this radio station, but Lord, I pray that you'll help them to stay and to listen to what we have to say this morning, that your Holy Spirit will go before us, that it will go into those homes, go into those cars, go wherever they're at, listening to this word, because we know there's no boundaries to your Holy Spirit. So speak to their hearts, Lord. Meet whatever they need today. Cleanse me of my sin, my unrighteousness. Make me a vessel that you can use today, that these will be your words, that self will be removed out of the way, Satan will be bound, and Jesus will be uplifted, so we can draw all people unto him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As I said this morning, we're going to read from Luke chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, as we think about empty people. Now, you know, when I look around the world today and I encounter so many different people going so many different places, I talk to a lot of people in a lot of places, and I'm sure you do too. But have you ever just kind of listened to people and the way they talked, or just look into their eyes and just see the hurt maybe that is there, and it just seems as if you can just see the emptiness that is there in their lives. Brothers and sisters, people are living empty lives. You want to know what the problem with our world today is? It's because so many people are empty. Now, that doesn't mean they're not busy. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't have time to turn around good before they're going out the door, going here, going there. They have their children in so many different activities and so many different things. They're doing this, doing that, and every weekend they're gone here and gone there. But brothers and sisters, when you look at them, their lives are really empty. It's just full of stuff. But when it really comes down to something that is meaningful, it is an empty life. When we look at what's going on in our world today, you want to know the reason that we have so many suicides? Why people don't want to live? They have no reason to live. It's because their lives are empty. There's nothing within them that they seem to have that makes them feel worthy to even keep living. And we know suicides is up to 30% with our young people. Isn't that a shame that our young people don't have a reason to live when their lives are just getting started? That's what happens when you're empty. When people don't respect other people's lives, if they don't have a reason to live, you don't know why we have so many shootings and mass shootings. It seems like every week we turn around, there's another mass shooting somewhere. Somebody shot 5 or 6. Can you imagine high school students being at a graduation party and one of them pull out a gun and go, now, why would you do that? I mean, this is supposed to be the funnest time of your life. This is one of the greatest accomplishments that our young people look forward to is, man, I'm graduating, I'm getting out of high school, and then one to be so empty that they would want to take others' lives. That's the reason we see these murders and things happen, is because people's lives are empty. You want to know why people have identity crisis? They don't know who they are. They don't know if they're a man. They don't know if they're a woman. They say they're confused about it. Brothers and sisters, their lives are empty. They're empty inside. They're empty inside. They need to be filled with something, but with the right thing. So this is the problem. Sin is that problem. You don't know why we have so much homeless? You want to know why we have so many people robbing? So many people lying? All these things that are happening in our world today, all the tragedy things that you can see, you can look back and people were empty. Their lives were empty. How many times have we seen on these mass shootings when they would leave their last word behind? You know, nobody heard me. Nobody listened to me. Nobody liked me. Everybody picked on me. Their lives were empty. They were empty. And brothers and sisters, sin causes emptiness. Sin causes emptiness. If Satan can keep you empty from the things of the Lord, then brothers and sisters, he can control you. You're not really empty, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. Something else happens. So let's read this scripture. I know I've preached on these scriptures in times past, but let's just look at these scriptures once again at what it says. Here we see people, they were the leaders of that day when Jesus has healed somebody. What happens? We see that the Pharisees and the others, they always tried to trick Jesus or have something to say about it. And so, you know, they had even came and said, hey, you know, Jesus is casting out devils, you know, with the devil. And Jesus told them, he said, yeah, now why would that happen? A house can't stand divided against itself. You're being stupid. And he went on down to say in verse 23, Luke chapter 11, verse 23, he says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, and goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So notice what he's talking about here. He said, you know, I've tried to share with you. I've tried to do all kind of signs and things. They wanted a sign. They wanted something to do. And he tells them, you know, look, there's one greater than Jonah here. There's one greater than Moses. You know, I'm not giving you other signs. You're going to see that sign of Jonah when I come out of that grave. But he says, this is the problem. You either for me or you are against me. You either for me, you are against me. You are either filled with me or you are filled with the devil and with the things of this world. So he gives them an example. He says that if a person has been cleansed and they have removed the evil spirit from them, that it has left them, it has gone out of them. And he says the spirit is walking around trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to find rest? I don't have anywhere to go. So he comes back to the house that he came out of. And notice what it says. He cometh and he findeth what? Swept and garnished. Now, I preached about that sometimes back. You know that when he came back, they had cleaned it up. They had swept it out. They had garnished it. That means they had decorated it. I mean, they had all the pictures hung in the right places, you know. They had the right accents here, had the right wallpaper here. They had the right table and chairs here. They just had it all set up where it looked real good. But guess what? The house was empty. The house was empty. Let me ask you what happens to a house? It can be a nice house. But if somebody who lived in that house moves off and leaves it, or maybe, you know, God forbid, maybe the old person died and nobody wanted their house and nobody lives in that house, what happens to that house? I mean, immediately it starts to what? To decay, doesn't it? Immediately it begins to fall apart. And I mean, if nobody lives in that house and nobody moves in that house, pretty soon, before long, it'll be inhabitable because it'll just go down and down. Well, here we see this evil spirit comes back and this house is empty. And so what does he do? He said, man, this is great. Not only is it empty, still empty, but they've cleaned it up for me. It looks good. So what did he say he does? He goes and he gets seven other evil spirits to come into that house And what do? They move in, and it says the latter state is worse than the first. I'll give you an example of that evil spirit coming and going and get some. Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me just run a little rabbit right here, right now. Back during some of our cold weather and our cold storms, I took a homeless person from here in our town, and we saw him out near our church, and it was raining bad. And my wife and I, we brought him in and fed him and washed his clothes and let him shower. And so we decided we'd put him up for the night. And so we carried him to one of our local hotels. And I went in to get him a room so he'd be out of the cold and the rainy that night. And the teller, the guy that owns the hotel, he asked me, he said, "Does he have a cell phone?" I said, "Yeah." "Is he from around here?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I won't rent him a room." And I said, "You won't rent him a room? What do you mean you won't rent me a room? I'm going to pay for his room." He said, "No, I won't rent him one. If he's got a cell phone, he's from right here, I'm not going to rent him one." I said, "We're just trying to help the man, get him out. Why not?" He said, "Because what happens, these homeless people, when they get somebody to rent them a room, if they got a cell phone, when they get in the room, they call all their other homeless people who have cell phones, and they all come and trash the room." Now, brother and sister, that's sad, isn't it? Think about it. Well, see, this is what this evil spirit does. He goes about. He comes back to that house, it's clean, and so what does he do? He don't just go in it, but he brings seven of his friends with him, seven other evil spirits with him, because it was empty. Well, brothers and sisters, how many people do you know that's been in rehab after rehab after rehab, have cleaned their lives up time and time again? I know I have helped them through the years of almost 47 years of pastorate now. I don't know how many people I have helped to get off the street. I don't know how many people right here at West Macomb we have helped, and helped them get a job, and helped them get an apartment, and helped them get going. And then before long, guess what? We get a call. Well, they're in jail. They tried to forge a prescription, or they're in jail. They went out at Walmart and stole something. You know, if you don't fill your life with something, I don't care how cleaned up you get. I don't care how cleaned out you get. I don't care how well garnished you are. You've got to fill your life with something. You cannot walk around empty in this world. Your life is either going to be filled with Jesus and you're going to be for him, or your life is going to get empty. You're going to allow Satan to move in and you're going to be against him. There's only those two choices. You either filled with Jesus or you're filled with the things of this world, which is Satan himself. So I want us to look at four different things this morning. I want us to look at, first of all, you must hunger and thirst after righteousness. Number two, you must be filled with the Spirit. Number three, you must be filled with goodness. And then number four, if you don't do these things, then Satan will fill you. Satan will fill you. So let's look at these things this morning as we continue thinking about that demon who leaves and cleaned house, but he comes back, and what does he do? He moves right in. He moves right in. So listen to what we said at the beginning. You must what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, if you're going to be filled, usually you have a hunger or a thirst for something, right? You know, a lot of times, you know, Denise and I be sitting around, "Well, what do you want for supper?" "I don't know." "What you want?" "Well, I don't know." And you know, we just kind of sit around and we just say, "Well, I just really don't know what I want." And you know what I always say? I say, we must not be hungry if we don't know what we want to eat, right? We must not be hungry if we really can't pick out what we want. Now, man, when I'm hungry, I don't have long to choose. I don't have a hard time choosing. Matter of fact, I'm not very choosing when I'm hungry, right? Well, if we're going to be filled, then we have to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. If you're going to be filled with righteousness, you got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You got to want those things. You got to seek out those things. Do you remember Jesus is talking with that woman at the well and how he told her? He said, you know, when he asked her for water, she said, "Well, I'm not giving you any water. What are you asking me? You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan woman." He said, "Well, you would ask me if you knew who I was, because I could give you living water." She said, "You don't have a rope, you don't have..." But he said, "I could give you living water that you would never thirst again." What'd she say? "Give it to me." Where's it at? Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life. If any man eats of me," what? "He'll hunger no more. He'll be satisfied." But you've got to have that hunger. You've got to want to be filled. You can clean your house up. You can clean your life up. We talked about this last week when we was talking about being saved and what are you waiting on. And some people say, well, I gotta get my life straightened out. Well, you know, you can sweep it out and you can mop it and you can clean it and you can even garnish it. But if you don't have a desire to fill it up and have that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for Jesus, for Him to come, then brothers and sisters, you're going to be in a worse state than you were to begin with. You have to have that hunger. You have to have that thirst. In the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, He says, blessed are they which what? Hunger, do hunger, and that and thirst after what? Righteousness. They that thirst and they that do hunger after righteousness, what did it say? They will be filled. They will be filled. So we see Jesus is telling them there in the Beatitudes, if you have a hunger and you have a thirst, then don't worry. I'm not going to let you run around hungering and thirsting after the things of the world. I'm going to fill you with that righteousness. If you seek after righteousness, you will be filled. Now, if you seek after the things of the world, then you'll be filled with the things of the world. You got to seek after the right thing. You got to have a hunger for the right thing. You know, sometimes I may hunger and thirst after the wrong thing. You know, if I'm down at that donut shop and Sam gets pulls out two dozen of the hot donuts and just put the icing on them, boy, I get a hunger. I could eat a dozen of them right then. But I don't need a whole dozen of donuts. One or two usually do me. But you know, I don't have to eat that whole dozen. I don't need that whole dozen. Sometimes we hunger and we thirst after those wrong things. We got to have a hunger. You got to have a thirst for righteousness if you're going to be filled. This man's life, he didn't have no hunger or thirst. He didn't fill it up with anything. He didn't desire anything. He just kind of going with the flow. Well, we see the evil spirits return. Well, let's look at the second thing. What are those things then? If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, what are those right things? Well, we must be filled, the Bible says, with the Spirit. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you know, the Bible tells us very plain that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, that our body is a holy temple, and that we are the temple of God, and that we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. But how many times do we allow the Holy Spirit to really fill us? How many times do we allow the Holy Spirit to live within us? Now, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to get slain, fall out in the floor, and jump pews? Well, if that's how some people want to describe it, that's up to them. But my Bible says if I'm filled with the Spirit, then I'm going to have all that joy and peace and righteousness. I'm going to have that love that I'm supposed to have for other people, that I know that if I'm filled with the Spirit, that God hears my prayers and answers my prayers. I don't have to go through some big hoopla to know that I'm filled with the Spirit. He tells us very plain that if we'll accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that He's not going to leave us. He sends that Comforter, that every one of us receives that Spirit at that time, if only we will accept Jesus, that Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. That's how Jesus lives within you. You know, when we tell people, well, Jesus lives within my heart, people look at you kind of crazy. What do you mean? Well, it's because we're filled with the Spirit. The Spirit fills us. Don't be full of wine, he says. In other words, he's saying, don't have a hunger and a thirst for the unrighteous things of the world. Don't fill your life up with the unrighteous things of the world. Fill your life up with the Spirit. And if we have the Spirit, then what happens? Well, let's look at three things. First of all, we see in Acts 1:8, this was our theme for our convention for years, that what? That after you have received power from on high, that you will be my what? Witnesses into Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. But after you receive power, how are you going to see that power? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. That after you receive that power, that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you, excuse me, about to sneeze, then you will become my witnesses. The Holy Spirit, when it fills us, brothers and sisters, it gives us power. It gives us power so that nobody else can come and fill our house. Nobody else, evil spirits can't move back in the house. See, this guy that cleans out his life and gets rid of that that evil spirit and cleansed it and garnished it, if he would have filled his life with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, guess what? Those other spirits could have never gotten in. Could have never gotten in. Because he would have been filled with the Spirit. There'd have been no room. The Spirit would have gave him power to resist the things of this world. The Spirit would have gave him power to overcome these evil spirits and overcome these things. Would have gave him a purpose to live. Would have gave him a respect for other people's life. Would have gave him the identity that they are a child of God. Would have gave him a desire to work and to live a good life in righteousness. And brothers and sisters, that's what we got to have. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. There's too many empty people walking around. Too many empty people in our pews. We talk about empty pews. We're filling our pews up with empty people. Empty people not filled with the Spirit. Oh, they come and they sing and they praise the Lord. And then they walk out that door and act just like the devil the rest of the week. Isn't that amazing? I mean, some of them just come in from Saturday night late. Just didn't make it into church. Because they was out serving the devil. And then they want to come in and talk about, oh, how they love Jesus. You get filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters, it won't be room for that other stuff in your life. It won't be room for any evil spirit to come in and to take over. You must pick those right things to be filled with. Be filled with the Spirit. Next thing he said about the Spirit, we got to walk in that Spirit. In Galatians 3:15, this I say, walk in the Spirit that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we walk in the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, then guess what? We're not going to fulfill the things of the flesh. What did Jesus say that first verse we read? If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering, then you're scattered. One of the two. You can't straddle the fence. So if you're either filled with the Spirit or either you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. There's constantly that war. There's constantly that struggle within each of us between the Spirit and the flesh. So which one are you full of? Which one are you going to be full of? The last thing that we see about that Spirit being filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit's going to lead us. In Romans 8:14, for as many that are led by the Spirit, they are what? They are called the sons of God. They are the sons of God. If we are filled with the Spirit, we have filled ourselves with those things that are righteous. Then he says what? Then we are the sons of God. We are his children. We are his sons. We are part of him. Well, let's look now to the third thing. We see not only that we must, what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we must be filled with the Spirit, then we must be full of goodness. Full of goodness. Now listen to what Romans 15:14 says. He says, I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Now, that's quite different from the way he begins Romans, isn't it? But isn't it wonderful for him to say here, I am persuaded that you are full of goodness. Full of goodness. Have you ever seen somebody that you could just look at and they were just bubbling over with goodness? Then have you ever seen other people that you can just look at and you just know, it's just something not right there. I'm going to stay away from him or her. There's just something evil about that person. You know, you can tell what people are full of. It. But he says these people were filled with goodness and they were full of knowledge and that they could what? They could admonish one another because they had the knowledge of God, because they had a knowledge of his word, because they was full of the good things of this life. Now, let's go back to the first chapter of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, we know this is a chapter that a lot of people frown upon because, I tell you, Paul just got down to it. And he told us what's wrong with our nation today. He told us what's wrong with our world today. We don't acknowledge God as God. God has turned us over to a reprobate mind that men are seeking out men and women. They're doing those unnatural things and all these things that it talks about. Because of our sin and our turning away from God. And listen to what he said in that verse 19. He said they did not, what, retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them up to that reprobate mind. And when he gave them up to that reprobate mind, they were what? They were filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. And then he went on to say what those unrighteousness were. Fornication, adultery, malice, lying, stealing, murder, all these things, drunkenness. I mean, he just names off a whole list of those. Those people that are filled with unrighteousness. Why? Because they did not retain God whereat in their knowledge. They didn't acknowledge him as God. They made his word out to be a lie. And brothers and sisters, because they were filled not with goodness, but with that unrighteousness. And you see what it did? See, that's the reason he says, I'm persuaded, brethren, it's good that you are full of goodness and of knowledge, that you can teach one another and instruct one another in the way that they are to live. Because if you don't, then God's going to give us over to a reprobate mind. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid as I look throughout our nation, as I see our lawmakers and I see our leaders and a lot of these states and a lot of these governors, brothers and sisters, God has turned us over to a reprobate mind. We did not retain God in our knowledge. Our forefathers believed in God in the way that they should. They believed in God as being the sole provider of our nation, the reason that we have the great nation that we have today, but we have not retained him in our knowledge. Matter of fact, we have done everything that we can to get rid of him. We've done everything that we can to hinder Christianity. We're doing everything that we can to appease all these other religions of the world, Muslims and others. But when it comes to Christianity, which our nation was founded upon, it seems as if, brothers and sisters, that we're doing everything that we can to turn our nation away from being a godly nation. Oh, brothers and sisters, we may have washed it out. We may have cleaned it. We may have swept it. But if we didn't fill it up with righteousness, if we didn't fill it up with the Spirit, if we didn't fill it up with goodness and knowledge of God, then we are going to be left back in, well, we're not going to be, we're already there in that Romans chapter 1. If you hadn't read that, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but you go back and read Romans chapter 1. Well, so what are we going to do? Are you going to have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness so that he will fill you? Blessed is he that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Are you going to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit so that you can have power to overcome these evil spirits, so that you can walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit? Are you going to have that fullness of goodness and knowledge so that we're not turned over to a reprobate mind? Because if we don't do those three things, guess what's happened? Look what happened in this story. It says, and then he cometh and he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. Now listen to this part. This is the bad part. The last state of the man is worse than the first. Oh, brothers and sisters, how many times do we see people get their lives swept out? We get to see people get their lives garnished and they look good on the outside, but they're emptier than they were before. Emptier than they were before. And before long, what happens? It doesn't take long for those demons to move back in. It doesn't take long for those evil spirits to take back over. In Acts chapter 5, there's a story, and you know the story, where the early church was growing and everything was going good. And Barnabas and some of the other ones, they were doing what? They were selling their land and selling their property. They were giving it to the church so that the church could survive and they could help each other. And everybody was having a good time. Well, there was a couple there. Their name was Ananias and Sapphira. Remember them? Ananias and Sapphira. So when they heard what was going on and they saw how people were responding when Barnabas gave his and other people gave theirs, what did they do? They said, well, you know, we got some land. Why don't we sell it? We're not using it. We don't need it. It's really not worth much. You know, we'll just sell it and we'll give that money to the church. And that way, you know, we've done our part. Well, guess what? They sold the land, but it brought a little more money than they thought. Land prices had gone up. So what did they do? So Ananias and Sapphira, they come up with a scheme. They said, look, you know, we'll just tell them that we only got this amount. We only got this amount, a lesser amount than what they really got from the property. And so Ananias goes in first, doesn't he? He goes in first, and he tells Peter, here, we sold some land, and here's the money for it, and we're glad to do it. And this is what Peter says to him in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land. Why hath Satan filled your heart? Or better it would be said, why did you let Satan fill your heart? See, brothers and sisters, we have control. Who we let in our heart, who we let fill our heart, what's filling our life. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. If we seek after the Spirit, we'll be filled. If we look after goodness and the knowledge of God, then brothers and sisters, we'll be filled with it. But if we go into this world and we are not filled with the Spirit, what did it say a while ago? We'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. He fulfilled the lust of the flesh. He was greedy. He wanted to keep that money back. Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart? That you would try to lie to the Holy Ghost. Brother, you can't lie to God. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Ananias fell dead right there. Sapphira comes in, tells the same lie. Peter says the same feet that drug your husband out are here to drag you out. And she too fell dead. Now listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to tell you that. But brothers in essence, sisters in essence, that's exactly what you're looking at. You're either going to be filled with Jesus, with the Spirit. You're either going to be filled with goodness and righteousness, or you're going to be filled with things of this world. And you want to know why we have so many suicides, so many murders, so many identity crises, thefts and robberies. It's because people are empty. They need Jesus this morning. Find Him. Fill your life with Jesus today. Let us pray. Jesus, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You promise us that You'll come and dwell within us and fill our lives, Lord, that if we'll just hunger and thirst after righteousness, You'll fill us. We shall be filled. Lord, if there's one empty this morning, Lord, fill them with Your Spirit. If there's one who has a demon living within them, drive him out. And Lord, give them a clean place. Give them a clean heart that You can come and You can feel, and they'll never have to worry about it again. Speak to our hearts now as we give You the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.